Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 12th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing well. Back from a week of self-given spring break. Technically, don't have a spring break, but I gave myself one anyway. So I'm back at work, back at feeds. So it's been a good day.
Back at the feeds, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 44 in the house, and it was really more of a sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of day, as we are waiting for the trio to let Kiefer know that he will be going up on the block. They did not end up telling him yesterday, so... They either told him while the feeds were or are down, or we will get some kind of, obviously, notification or reaction from him when it actually happens at some point today. But that's pretty much what we're looking at here. Not a lot to discuss from yesterday as we are waiting for this to happen.
No, not too much. I was kind of sad. It's been a while since I've had a Merry Monday. And I sat around all yesterday just waiting for them to tell Kiefer, waiting for Kiefer's reaction. And it just didn't happen. We just weren't lucky yesterday.
Yeah, just wasn't in the cards here. So we'll get into what we did see yesterday. Tina and Tara talked about the fact that Kiefer looked like he was going to be getting backdoored. Tina does not want this to happen. She will be trying a little bit to prevent it, but there's not a lot she can do right now. Tara says he brought it on himself. I mean, the way he talks about, oh, I'm going to win this game. It's his own fault.
Yeah, the way Tara talks is like, okay, I've won veto, secured my own spot. My priority is going to be to keep Tina safe. Don't want to do anything that could possibly mess that up. If we push for Kiefer to not go on the block, maybe that'll happen. And on top of that, let me just go ahead and think about some reasons why I might be frustrated with Kiefer anyway. She brings up many times that he talks too much about how good of a player he is and his wins, and he's got too much of an ego, and that's starting to get on her nerves a little bit.
Mm-hmm. They're also going to talk a little bit about Ty, and they don't really understand how Ty can feel so comfortable going to the end with Jed and Beth. And I'm wondering if this is the narrative that will be used moving forward for Ty. You know, Jed and Beth are a showmance. Ty, you're going to need to do something. Why would you go to the end with these two? And if that is going to potentially be used against him, even if he does manage to win himself there, I don't know. But This Kiefer move is definitely not the best for Ty here, as Jed will certainly get the credit for it. And it also removes a huge asset to Ty's game in Kiefer, who could have taken a shot at Jed and Beth for him without him having to do it himself. So definitely interesting looking at Ty's position here.
Yeah, Ty had a really interesting opportunity of being in a game where for several days he was either the number one in the showmance, or they were really looked at like the triangle of all sort of three of them. At the point where he stepped back and was not the one in the main showmance, but still in the group, that gave him really interesting positioning of being able to make his own bonds. And he has done so with both Kiefer and Brayden to some extent. And that could be a great out for him of, hey, other people, this is why I stand out from the triangle. This is why in the end you might be able to vote for me, because I have made other alliances and other moves. However, he's still playing in some way for the triangle's best interests as a collective, not as an individual, which would be the Kiefer move, because the majority, Beth and Jed, this is a better move for them. So he's really dropping the ball here, I think. I think it's a tricky position to be in, but I think that he has enough sway and loyalty in this group where if he really pushed for it, we know how wishy-washy they are. They would at least heavily consider not putting Kiefer up if he talked with Beth and Jed about it. I think the other issue is that Beth is also sort of seeing this as her week to make a move as well, and majorly benefits her more to have Kiefer go.
Yeah, it's her HOH to control, right? Well,
unlike her own HOH.
Yes, exactly.
Which she didn't control that much.
And that's the thing too about Ty. And I certainly think that he is very capable of winning in the end. But even last week, you know, he spent the whole week telling everyone, it's not good for my game for Vic to go. She's not targeting me. Why would I send her home? And then they send her home, which it kind of just makes it look like he is being pushed around by Jed and Beth. And just kind of being dragged along. And I'm definitely concerned that narrative might take foot here. But Kiefer is going to talk to Tina and Tara, and he does let them know that he is going to take a big shot next week, or at least so he says to them. And again, I'm inclined to believe this, and really I'm inclined to believe that this is the right move for Jed and Beth, because I do think that Kiefer would take the shot next week if he had the ability to, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I'm not sure that Brayden will.
Yeah, I think if Brayden were the one to go home, you now have 3 versus 3, and the Tina, Tara, Kiefer group would all basically put the same people up. And so, which would be not the worst thing for Ty necessarily, depending on how the veto plays out. But yeah, it's hard to argue with a move when the people making it are actually doing something that would benefit them. I think this is also stemming somewhat from Kiefer, whether or not he is told directly today that he is the one going up, or on Monday, I should say, Sunday, yesterday, the day we're talking about. Man, these days, since he wasn't told directly, he's definitely got a vibe in the air that he's not super comfortable with.
Yeah. Well, Ty and Jed are going to talk a little bit about, you know, they were making the right move, so on and so forth. But and this has been talked about before, but they have reiterated it. Their ideal boot order at this point is Kiefer this week, Tara next week, then Brayden, then Tina, which would get them to the final four. Final three. The ideal would be they take out Kiefer, then they break up Tara and Tina, which means that if Tara won the veto, I'm not sure what they would do at that point. I still would have a hard time seeing them taking out Tina over Brayden just to break Tara and Tina up, but it's possible. The order is Kiefer, Tara, Brayden, Tina. That is what they want.
Yes, that is what they want. And this is mostly speculation on my part, but I think that there is at least some element of Beth wanting that fourth person to be a woman in order to have that option open for the final two as well.
Certainly. I think she's trying to leave these other options open. I don't know how she plans on getting there.
I think it's a loose plan.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit like when when John and Netta were like trying to campaign, but it was like Arlie and Heather, maybe, or not Arlie, Adele and Heather or something. I don't remember exactly what it was now. They're just battling back and forth between like who's best for me, who's best for you, except it's just Beth. Nobody else is doing it. But in the end, it's not going to matter at all because, you know, nobody's going to be taking a shot unless they win. And if they win, then Beth's probably on the block anyway, or she's losing Jed anyway. So,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, it's fun to think about, even if they really can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Jed and Tina are going to check in. He's basically feeling out like, if I backdoor Kiefer right now, are you going to be mad? Are you going to be cheesed? You going to be cheesed at me?
I'm just cheesed right now.
They really genuinely, they say that a lot.
They say it a lot, and it's infiltrated everybody's vocabulary. I heard Tara say it yesterday. Everybody's saying it. I feel like, am I wrong? I thought cheesed at one point was like a good thing. Like, but just in the world.
Because cheese is great.
Right. And like you say cheese when you smile. Like, oh, I'm really cheesed right now. It's a good thing.
I mean, I think that cheesed always meant mad.
I mean, I don't know about that. In this context, yes, but I don't like this is an irrational thing for myself, but I really don't like it when certain words like get in the house guest's mind and you have like friendship, you have Gumpy, you have cheese. Really, I don't know why. It grates on me, much like cheese.
It's in the dictionary. Cream. Disgusted, fed up.
Ooh.
It actually, apparently, it may have been shortened. I'm seeing a lot of cheesed off.
Cheesed off?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm really cheesed off right now.
Can you be cheesed up? See, I feel like cheesed up would be like a good thing. Like, I'm real amped up. I'm all cheesed up.
You know what? Let's make it happen.
All right, I'm down with that. That makes me feel better. Okay, cheese is good. Cheesed is bad, apparently. Okay.
I mean, here, look, Urban Dictionary, cheesed up, when one is excited about something and it shows on their face.
See? That's what I'm saying. Cheesed up. It's a thing. Okay.
Phoebe Vote says cheesed off is from the 70s, I think. I mean, that tracks, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Say cheese. Yeah. Okay. All right. Extra cheesed, extra sharp cheesed.
Look, I'm just saying, I guess here's the thing. If it's cheesed off, then the cheese is off and there's no more cheese. So you'd be mad.
Right. Whereas if you're cheesed up, then you've piled on even more cheese and that's just a great thing.
Yeah. You're just suited up in cheese.
So yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So every time that Jed and Tara talk,
well, this is Jed and Tina.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was jumping ahead. You got more to say about Jed and Tina?
Basically, Tina just says, I'm cool. I'm cool with whatever. Whatever you need to do. I just want to get to the end. I know the score. We're good. Then he talks to Tara.
Right. And every time that Jed and Tara talk, I feel like it's very like relationship counselor-y, like really, really talking about our feelings. And Tara's like, this is just how I felt with you. I just never know if I could trust you. I never know who you're with. Like, I've heard that people have final fours and final threes and final twos, and I don't really know who your final two is. She's very analytical to him, like speaking her mind about like, maybe your final two is with Ty. Maybe it's with Beth. I don't know. And it's a lot of like a emotional word salad that kind of doesn't go anywhere. And I swear this is like the 5th or 6th or 20th time they've had this conversation. And then Tara always leaves and she's like, oh, wow, I feel like I got to know Jed better and I really had a good talk. And then like it doesn't go anywhere. And they actually have they keep talking at each other, but they don't actually bond ever.
Tara says the phrase, well, if we're being honest right now, if we're being honest with each other right now, like about 20 times, basically before she says anything. It's like she's like she's kind of like found success in this sort of like radical honesty strategy where she's just like, yeah, I'm coming for you. That's what I was doing. This is why. And then. Like, she's just trying to be as honest as possible about her insecurities, about her position in the game, about where she sees other people. And that's because her position in the game is one where it doesn't make sense to take her out. So the more honest she is, the more it convinces people, why would you take me out? I'm getting second place, guys. And you never know, but I'm getting second place, probably. The chance of me winning this game are very low, and I'm okay with that. I'll take 20 grand. That's what I'm aiming for. If I can get to the end, that's what I would like to do. It doesn't really matter to me who's sitting next to me because I don't think I can win anyway. So use me. Take me there. I'm willing to go with whoever's willing to take me.
It's what I like to call the like got nothing to lose strategy, kind of. Like when you're at a position where you know you're on the bottom and everybody knows you're on the bottom, you can speak your mind somewhat. You can, if we're being honest, and it can help. Now, it can also backfire sometimes where people will say, if they start to think about it too much, they're like, if we're getting, you know, lulled in or feeling comfortable or feeling good about somebody saying this, maybe other people are. Maybe their position's not actually as dire as they're sort of making it seem, because you just need a couple people to sort of get on board with the working with the person who's on the bottom or taking them to the end. All of a sudden, that person's not on the bottom anymore. So I like it. I think Tara is employing the strategy when she's not even in the worst position yet. I mean, she's safe this week. She's still got a couple allies. We'll see what happens. I think she is striking out in terms of jury votes at the moment. Don't see a whole lot of ways that could change. You need a very, very compelling argument, but it's fun to watch. It's fun to think about sometimes. I think just even as a person, you like to think about, not in a game setting, of like, what if I just went around saying whatever I felt and just did that sort of radical honesty, as you called it. Like, how would that go? Like, I feel you've been in situations where you're so frustrated with someone that you kind of just want to be like, you don't deserve to be here and all that. Well, so
the problem with it for Tara is that people are jealous and greedy, and they want you to only be honest with them, and they want you to only be saying those things with them. And so when Jed goes to Beth and he's like, I just had an actually pretty good conversation with Tara, she said all these things, Beth is like, yeah, she said those things to me too, though. She's probably saying them to everyone. And like, you can tell that Beth is disappointed. And then you can tell that Jed is also now disappointed. It's like, well, that's annoying. Like, I was hoping that she was only opening up to me. Now she's opening up to everyone.
It's frustrating how loyal the triangle is to each other, because you want them to just keep some of this to themselves. Like, Jed and Beth, Yes, it benefits you to have these conversations, to realize that Tara is doing this to both people, but you almost want them to just like have some conversations and not tell everything about their conversation. And it's instant. Like, Jed and Tara will talk, and then Tara will immediately go talk to Tina, and Jed will immediately go talk to Beth, like within seconds.
Yeah.
I want people to be a little more selfish sometimes.
I mean, that's the problem with the setup of the house that we have, where there are, you know, a bunch of duos, trios, and people who are all like paired off, is that there have been very few individual players. Those players have been, you know, like Kiefer and Vic, but those individual players are getting picked off because they couldn't manage that game, right? So there's only so much you can do. But Tara does also talk about Kiefer, and she says, between us, if we're being honest, does Kiefer talk to you guys about how he's going to win the game all the time? He's always just like, yeah, I've got two votes wrapped up in jury already. I'm going to win all these endgame comps. I'm going to win this game. I'm going to come back for All-Stars. I'm going to win that game. And Jed's like, he does. He does say that to us, too. She's like, oh, I guess he says it to everyone then.
What is Kiefer doing? Like, it's one thing to sort of accidentally occasionally slip up and be like, wow, I did good at that comp, or, oh man, I just missed it. I almost had it. I was in second place. That's another second. It's one thing to say something like that, but Kiefer does sit around and talk a lot about like if somebody implies to him that he might not win, he's immediately like, well, I could win.
Well, Mary.
Just call me the Grim Kiefer because I am ripping these duos apart.
Say that in the diary room. Say it to the camera. But he says it out loud, and it is a little bit funny. That is part of what Tara talks to Jed about. She also is going to mention that she thinks Kiefer's more loyal to Tina than she is, or than he is to her, and that Tina might be more loyal to Kiefer than Tina is to Tara. So yeah. She's really trying to sell herself as being the third here.
And I think this is actually a bit of a mistake here from Tara. I think she believes it. She believes that Kiefer is more loyal to Tina. And I can understand where she's coming from. I also at one point and could still fear that Kiefer could go after Tara next week instead of Beth or Jed. Considering where Brayden is at, I would have a lot more faith in Kiefer to take a shot. I think that he's more likely to win a competition to take a shot. And so I actually feel like Tara helping sink Kiefer because he's more loyal to Tina. She's trying to play self-interested, which I appreciate, but I actually feel like this is not a good thing for her. I think that Kiefer in the game is a better thing than Brayden in the game, and this is maybe not the best idea, because she has really done a lot of work to make this happen. When we first heard the trio discussing the Kiefer move, Beth basically said that it was based on things that Tara said, which was like the reason that they were doing it. And I'm just not sure that that's the right call for her at this point, but she is trying to make it happen, and I can see why. It's just might not play out the best way.
Yeah, I mean, if she does truly think that her relationship with Brayden is more beneficial than her relationship with Kiefer, and if she, for whatever reason, wants Brayden around more than him, then I understand why in her mind she might be doing it. I just don't think that that's like a super accurate read on the people in the house, like you're saying.
I just think she and we'll see one conversation, but she really needs to start working on Brayden a lot more if this is the direction that she's going to be pushing her game.
Yes. Also, just one more thing while it's on my mind about the Kiefer ego or overconfidence. I do think that it's like a really good thing in Big Brother and Survivor to project confidence, but not to the other players. Like, I always feel like you should be doing everything you can to make yourself feel and ideally actually be the best player in the game. And that's like easier said than done. But especially when you get to the end of the game, sometimes people will falter or lose right at the end because they don't have a great way of acting or portraying that they are the best player. And sometimes that comes down to just final speeches, and sometimes it comes down to not being able to kind of frame their game and shape it. But if you're always playing where you're always actively trying to be the best player, then like that can be good, and confidence is good, but it's just not something you want to show the other players. It's something that you always want to keep in mind in your own game and keep, you know, in check with yourself. Tell the cameras, tell the diary room. That's all great. And I feel like that, like, kind of this might just be like, duh, goes without saying. But I think it's surprisingly rare how often you get someone who like truly believes and has an argument to back up why they're the best player, even if they're not. Even if they're not, I just want you to like always be that way. Like, instead you have people who get to the end and don't know how to frame their game in a way that that could even like have an argument for being the best player.
Yeah. And I think that you do need to be able to convey it during the game as well, just because it's impossible to convey it at the end alone. Right.
Right. But you don't want it. But like the way you convey it can't be
right.
Hey, I'm a threat. I'm going to win. It needs to be like,
yeah, don't tell everyone
note these things I'm doing. Don't see it too well.
Yeah. Don't be Kiefer saying I'm going to win this game.
Right.
You peasants. But just, you know, just be a confident player. Just like I just be a normal, regular player, basically. And don't be somebody that's like, I can't win this game, and then get to the end and be like, yeah, I couldn't win this game. There's a pretty big middle ground there.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Kiefer and Ty are going to talk a bit. Kiefer's starting to feel a little bit like, is something going on here? He tries to lay the guilt trip down on Ty, and this feels like major deja vu, that this is exactly what happened with Vic. And he's like, hey, I've been loyal. I've helped the group out a lot. I've made a lot of calls to benefit you guys. The move is not very effective. It's not going to change anything. Guilt tripping is not going to work on the trio.
Yeah, it's not. You got to think, even if the trio are not always working in their own best interest, or not all three of them are, you have to still at least try and make them feel like there's a benefit, and it can't just be guilt.
He needs to say that Brayden is working with Tina and Tara. That's all he needs to say.
Yeah, he needs to say that. And the pitching, the Kiefer's biggest, I don't even know if it can be called a pitch if he hasn't like directly been told that he's going up yet. But basically, his biggest pitch has been, I'm so loyal. I've been loyal. I want the four of us to get to the end. Loyal, loyal, loyal. And that falls a little flat when everybody involved realizes it's a 3+1, 4. And like you need another reason other than just loyalty, because
he's never been loyal to
other people.
They've never cared about Kiefer's loyalty is the problem.
Yeah. Like even if Kiefer never once tried to make anything happen with Tina and Tara, even if Kiefer, you know, was never working with anyone else in the whole game, it has never been and never will be a solid four with four equal pieces.
Yeah.
So there's never, that can't be your argument here.
Kiefer could have, and nearly did, win every single HOH, protect those three, been completely loyal the whole time, told them everything, played his entire game for them. They would still be taking him out this week. That is the reality of this situation. And so laying the guilt on definitely does, as we've seen, confuse the trio and get their brains all cloudy. But then you have to hit it up with, and we have to remember what Victoria told us. Brayden is working with Tina and Tara. It's a great thing that we're sending him out, because I just saw him talking with Tara, you know, about whatever. That's not the direction he's going. Tara is going to talk with Brayden. She says she thinks that the move is going to be made on Kiefer, which would be great for them. They'll have great odds in the next HOH. 3v2, basically. They have to take a shot next week. He's like, well, has anybody been pitching me? And she says, like, basically, has Tina been pitching against me? Like, I thought you were pitching against me. She's like, no. And I know that Tina is closer to Kiefer, though, so she may be. I'm not sure. And this is, again, like, I don't think she understands that she should not be throwing Tina under the bus here in any way, because the last thing she needs is for Braden to win the HOH next week and put Tina on the block. This is her trying to work on Braden a little bit. You would think that she wouldn't have to, but we're gonna see.
Yeah, you would think she shouldn't have to, and you would think that she would know that even if she's a little insecure with the pre-90s, that it's still her best course of action. But
yeah, so after this conversation, Braden talks to the cameras. I've been waiting for this. I've been hoping to get some insight into Braden's head, because I've been thinking surely he cannot be thinking that he can work with the trio in the final six, the same trio that's currently in the process of stabbing somebody that has been much more loyal and helpful to them in the back. Surely you do not think that you can win loyalty from those people in a matter of 1 week. We do finally get a talk from Braden to the cameras. Now, it's cut off. There's not a lot here, and it's still not necessarily concrete, but this was a very disappointing indication of where his head might be. He's like, ooh, Tara came to play this game, but has she been campaigning to send me out? It would help me to have her push for me to go, because then it would show for sure that those three are working together. Man, it would be crazy if she won HOH next week and didn't put me on the block. What am I doing right now? Should I tell Beth about this? I don't know. She might have a final two with Tara. I don't know.
I know that Braden is not seeing the live episodes of the show or the edit. This house, while when you had players like Victoria in the game, allowed for some fluidity, and while it has pop back and forth in power, I feel like I don't know how someone could still miss the obvious sides or pairings or groups, because it's also just the people who tend to hang out all the time together. So if Braden doesn't realize, like, here's the trio, here's the not trio, even if some of them talk sometimes, and where does it benefit me to go, Braden? Probably not with the trio. I mean, you got fourth, maybe, except that's not even what they want, and they're kind of annoyed with you at the moment. Like, it's a little amazing how Braden does not realize at all, it appears, his position or what pieces he could use or go to in the game. And I love Braden, and I wish that he was a little bit more like tapped into what's happening. I feel like when he lost Austin and Roe, he completely forgot that there were other people on that side who he should still be working with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like I still think there's a little bit of hope here. It was a very, very quick thing. The feeds cut to the I don't know why they did this. You know what? I know why they did this, because they're trying to make Braden seem like a mastermind, and Braden was talking like he had no idea what house he was even in. And they were like, let's just cut to the kitchen where there's no conversation happening, because we don't want live feeders to yell at us when we continue to make Braden look like a mastermind for orchestrating this Kiefer backdoor. And so That's what happened right there. But I still hold out at least a little bit of hope, because the unfortunate reality is that it works. If you prevent us from having information, we can't be sure about any information. But there's maybe a chance that when he meant that it would be crazy if Terra didn't put him on the block, that that would obviously mean that Terra's putting the triangle on the block, and that would be crazy. But it really just seems to imply that, like, oh man, he thought that Terra might put him on the block, which kind of implies that he is thinking about putting Terra on the block because she might come after him. And the fact that his go-to was, should I go tell Beth about this, tells me a couple of things. Firstly, that he wants to tell Beth about it and rat Terra out. Secondly, that he did not say, should I go tell Ty about this? That Beth seems to be making more progress with him than Ty, which is actually not that surprising, considering that Beth gives him a lot more information than Ty does. And he has continually been skeptical of Ty's advances. He talks a lot with Ty about personal stuff, but not a lot about game. And Beth is much more open with Brayden about information. And I think that he may be buying into the Beth is willing to betray the guys to take him idea. And that's maybe why he feels comfortable with the triangle.
Well, what's funny is Beth should be willing to work with Brayden and betray the guys.
She can't take Brayden to the end. Brayden will win. That's
well, but she should be willing. Like, it makes sense for Beth, someone who may or may not be able to beat Jed or Ty either, to start looking at other options and try to reach out to Brayden. Brayden not being the best choice here, but like, it makes sense that she would be trying to make inroads with Tina, with Tara, with Kiefer, with anybody, honestly. And so from Brayden's perspective, thinking like, oh, maybe Beth would leave the guys for me or try to take me farther in the end. That's like, that is a logical thing that Beth and anyone in the house should be trying to look at other options.
I disagree, actually.
Well, okay, well, hold on. Now, the reason I say this is like the problem is that when it comes down to it, I think that Beth is still going to be probably swayed by the guys or miss the opportunity. Like, I'm not saying that Beth should take Brayden to the end over the guys. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that I think it makes sense for her to try and build relationships, even if that relationship building is just so that she could have a potential vote on the jury in Brayden.
I think so. What I disagree with is that it's a logical idea to think that Beth would be wanting to step outside of this, right? I think that is a classic mistake that players make every single time there's a showmance or, you know, a very close relationship. Like, everyone, like, it's always the same story. It's Kayla and Derek. It's, you know, it's every single showmance. They always have multiple people in the showmance going like, oh, no, don't worry. I know I can't beat this person. And that's how they somehow manage to trick their extra parachute people every single time, and they buy it every single time. They're gonna cut the person that they're sleeping with every night for me in the end. That's what's gonna happen. And then of course it's not gonna happen. It never happens. And even if it did happen, you know, even in the few places where it has happened, like in Big Brother 5 or Big Brother Canada 2, granted they weren't actually sleeping together at that point, they still win. Like, it was still their move. So I think that the idea that, like, oh, well, Beth knows she can't go to the end with the guys, she must work with us, is a classic, I'd call it a fallacy of Big Brother logic.
Well, it is not actually the case that Beth... What am I trying to say? Beth should not, you know, people always tell like the showmance person, oh, you need to cut the other showmance in order to have a chance at winning. And that, as we've seen, is not necessarily true. And also, like, sometimes when they do it, they still don't even win, or they're not given credit or whatever. But I think that as the person who's not in the showmance, as the Brayden here, all Brayden can hope to do in the game is to play that card, is to try and split up the group.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so what I'm saying is, like, it makes sense for Brayden to want to hope that Beth can choose him over the guys.
Of course. But what I think what we're talking about is if he wins next week and doesn't target them because he's banking on the fact that Beth is willing to be with him.
Yeah, no. The main issue with the Brayden camera talk was it seems like he has completely not even considered working with Tara, which should have been his number one most obvious person to work with at this point in time. Tara is the person probably most easy to beat in the house. Tara is a person who's already who's feeling some insecurities in her own group and would be maybe not super willing to like completely flip throw Tina under the bus. But like if it happens, it happens. And she's got another option in Brayden. And that should be where he's looking. I think what got confusing with what I was saying about Brayden and Beth and what is logical, it's like, it's not what's logical as a player to win. It's what makes sense as a player to think another player should be thinking, if that makes sense. It's kind of like that extra step of, it's not what Beth should be doing. It's not what Brayden should even be hoping would happen. But if you're a person who's on the outside of an alliance, you have to be looking at how could I potentially break these alliances up. But that's like if Brayden is by himself. But Brayden shouldn't be by himself. He should be with Tara.
It's very like, simple. If Brayden, Tara, or Tina win next week, it's everything that Tara just told him. It's 3v2. If they win next week, they need to take a shot. But somehow Brayden doesn't appear to be on that same page, at least based on what we heard from this camera talk. So we'll have to see on that one.
And I mean, Brayden is also someone who we've seen, he likes to work with the people that he likes. He likes to work with the people he's friends with. And the game and personal relationships overlap a lot in that way, even though he seems to have a better personal relationship with Ty. And he is hoping to work a little more with Beth. I think that like he still likes Beth. And he still gets along with Beth. It's not like he's choosing someone he absolutely detests over Ty, or looking in that direction. But I think with Tara, that working with Tara is for Brayden a much more like needs to be a purely game focused thing and less of a personal thing. And we haven't seen him choose to work with game people in the past. We've only seen him choose to work with people he actually likes.
Yeah. Well, that's most of the day here. Tina's going to talk with Ty and try to campaign for Kiefer a little bit, but it doesn't really go anywhere. And Ty also is going to kind of feign ignorance here, saying that he doesn't really know that he assumes Brayden's going up. But if Kiefer went up, I mean, that would obviously be a big thing. So which, again, I think is only going to hurt him in the end, as he's making it seem like he's not the one making the decisions and that this is a Jed move.
Yeah, I can understand the instinct of I like this person. I don't really want them to go. I feel like this is a subconscious Ty realizing that he shouldn't be sending Kiefer out, and so much so that he doesn't even want to own the move. He doesn't want to be associated with it. He wants to feign ignorance on it. And that shows a lack of power in the game, a lack of ownership. And I think it's also going to be something that when Kiefer goes on the block, Kiefer's not going to believe that Ty didn't know it anyway. So that's going to immediately come back. Basically, throughout the day, the two other things we really haven't talked about too much are the triangle talking about whether or not they should tell Kiefer, and then Kiefer coming in and talking to the triangle about should we tell Brayden. And I was really hoping that Kiefer would just go tell Brayden himself, like that he's going up, or pull Brayden into a room and say it in front of other people or start that conversation. It didn't actually happen, but I just wanted it to for fun. But the three of Jed, Ty, and Beth, every time Kiefer's like, should we tell Brayden? They're like, oh, I mean, he probably already knows, or maybe we'll tell him maybe tomorrow. I don't know. And meanwhile, they're like, oh, should we tell Kiefer? When are we going to do it? When are we going to tell Kiefer?
Yeah. Then they ultimately, did not, at least from what we saw. We did see Tina try to warn Kiefer. Like, are you worried? They might put you up. I mean, what if I think they could? And Kiefer was like, nah, they wouldn't do that to me. I'm the Grim Keeper.
Just call me the Grim Keeper.
They're loyal to me. They would never do that. I would go home.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be a conversation between Ty and Kiefer where Kiefer's like, oh, you know, I don't feel good. I feel like a vibe. I don't like this. And Ty's like, oh, when's the last time you felt that way? And he says, the last time I was on the block. And I feel like probably this is Kiefer being like, hey, I can sense something. I'm not going to be completely blindsided. I feel this coming. Please just tell me, or please don't do it without outright saying it. And I think it's just going to make it worse. But
yeah. So the feeds then went out, yes. Like all the way out. There was speculation of a power outage or something that went wrong. They've been down since sometime last night. And we got a message this morning that said that they would be up at noon. So in about 15 minutes, right now, they should come back up. Obviously it is possible that this means that we have missed, them telling Kiefer that he is going up on the block. I think it's actually pretty likely that we missed it. We may come back to already having had the veto ceremony. That's possible. We'll just have to see if we missed any of that. And who knows, Kiefer may be on the block. Kiefer may know. Kiefer may still not know, but you'll find out tomorrow, because I'll go live tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds.
We really just can't have nice things, can we? Just can't see the conversations we want to see.
Yeah. So that's what we have for you. We will, of course, be back tonight as well after the episode. Rob will be joining us and we'll recap tonight's episode. Should be a more straightforward one, I think, tonight, with the Wednesday one being the big move stuff going on. But I am very curious to see how this HOH competition played out. And I would say I'm curious to get some diary rooms from Braden, but I can't imagine that any of the words will be his own. So I don't think they'll tell us anything. It'll seem like they're telling us something, but I don't think in reality they'll be telling us anything. Make sure you tune in then. And of course, tomorrow night, Roundtable will be rating these players, updating the Stockwatch. I hope you made smart decisions for double eviction, and we'll have to see how that plays out for everyone here.
Yeah, I may or may not have forgotten to change any of my stock after the previous week, which actually I think benefited me. I think my accident was better than anything I could have actively done when thinking about the double eviction. So I lucked out there.
There you go. All right, then. That's what we have for you. Thank you guys so much for joining us. You can, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We played some Among Us yesterday, had a lot of fun, lied to a lot of people, and did some fun stuff. Mary, where can people find you?
You can follow me everywhere at Frail Mary, and I also am on Twitch doing the mediocre version of Fall Guys. So if you get tired of seeing Taryn win all the time, You can check me out and then switch back over to him when you realize I'm never going to win ever. You can follow my podcast at Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K, talking with Kirsten McInnes about Riverdale, talking with other people about Twilight. Riverdale's going on hiatus for like 6 months. No, it's like 3 months, but it feels like a long time. So I'm sure there'll be something else over there. We'll see. Who knows?
All right. Well, thank you guys again for joining us today, and see you guys next time.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.